produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Is brought to you by Josie's Inspiration Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll-free callers 1-310-742-1858. Again, that's 1-310-742-1858.
Hey, everybody. It is Reverend Carla Johnson Olds with Carla's Pearls of Wisdom. I am so glad you chose to join us this week. This week, we're still in quarantine, and most people are staying in their houses. Some people are out and about. And our special guest today is a very special guest to me. And our special guest today has been out and about. Even though we're quarantined, there are some other things and activities that we can do. So our guest today is none other than the fabulous Mr. Richard Johnson. Richard is my, I want to say little brother, but my younger brother. He's about 6'2" and little less than a foot taller than me. So Richard is my younger brother. We're going to interview Mr. Johnson today. Mr. Johnson has participates with a cycling group, a cycling club, in competition and for recreational purposes. So we're going to talk to Mr. Johnson. So first, let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to you this morning, this evening, tonight, wherever we are in the world, Lord God, we just thank you and praise you for this wonderful opportunity, to learn something different and to listen to what's going on in the lives of others, Lord God. We thank you for your grace, your love, your peace, and your mercy, Heavenly Father. We ask that you open our heads and open our hearts as we learn more about the cycling world. We thank you and we praise you, Lord God, for Kayla Padgett. And we thank you and praise you for Josie Hopkins and Josie's Inspirations. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Mr. Johnson, are you there?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am here.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Yeah, thank you so much for joining me today. I've been doing this show for a little over a year, and I have not had the opportunity to have you on. Thank you so much for coming today.
I'm glad to be here.
So I noticed that you got involved in cycling probably about 5 or 6 years ago. Can you tell us what got you involved in cycling? And okay, we're talking about bicycles, right? Bicycles, no motors,
yes.
Just bicycles.
No motors. The motor's inside me. So
okay.
Yes, it's a very interesting way that I got involved. At first, I just wanted to do some other exercise. I realized I was getting too old to go out and play basketball on Sunday afternoons, and it just took too long for me to recover from that. So I wanted to do some kind of high endurance. I didn't like jogging because it just felt like I was getting nowhere fast. So it happened to be that I was living in Newport News, and in our community, the mailboxes were a good little ways down from our town home. So I was like, you know what, I should just get me a bike. And I'll just ride down to the mailbox, maybe ride around the neighborhood, something like that. So I went down like the typical person, just went to Walmart, Target, looking around at the bicycles and figuring, I ain't really see one that I liked anyway. So I decided to go to a real bike shop, and I knew that they were more expensive. But I didn't want to know exactly why are you paying so much more for a bike from a bike shop versus a bicycle from a what we call a big box store, like Target, Walmart, even Dick's or REI, those stores. So I went to a bike shop in Virginia Beach, and they explained to me just the quality of the components. The components are the brakes, the drive train, your pedals, everything, the cranks, all that stuff are your components. So it's just a higher quality of components, your wheels, and the big thing is the frames. A high-end bicycle would give you at least an aluminum frame, which is a lot lighter than the heavy steel bicycles that you buy in a typical big box store. So I was like, okay, I kind of get it. But then they mentioned to me that, okay, so if you go to a big box store, and this was the big selling point for me, if you go to a Target or a Walmart and something happens to your bicycle, like you're riding it and the gear stretch or you need something adjusted on it, what are you going to do? You're going to take it to a bike shop. You're going to take it to a bike shop to get it fixed, right? So you may as well just go ahead and buy a quality bike from that bike shop and allow them to do all your adjustments and, like, minor fixes for free. Most bike shops do offer that. And I said, you know what? That makes sense.
So you can go in and get your bike tuned up just like you send your car in for regular maintenance?
Yes, you can do that for you need to do that for your bicycle at least once a year. But for like minor fixes, like your brakes need adjusting or your gears need adjusted real quick, most bike shops, especially if you purchased it from that shop, will do those for free for you. But you're not going to take your bike back to Target to fix, right? So if you bought it from Target, they don't have a bike maintenance shop or anything. And then I also remember when I was in high school, I worked at a Kmart, and during the peak season, they would have me and one of my friends in the back putting bicycles together. So I know that during that time of us putting those bicycles together back there in the back, some of those Kmart bikes just weren't really up to par and snuff. So that was my final revelation in deciding to purchase, a high-end bicycle from a bike shop, which was a hybrid bicycle. It looks like a mountain bike, but it has qualities of a nice road bike, aluminum frame, yada, yada, yada.
Oh, so, Richard, let me ask you this. When you go in to buy a bike, I know you are, and that's why I mentioned your height earlier. So you are a lot taller than I am. The seat will be in a different position. The handlebars will be in a different position. So how do I properly buy a bike so that it, quote, unquote, fits my size?
Yeah, and that is the second point in going to a regular, a traditional bike shop versus going to Target or Walmart. When you go to a regular, a traditional bicycle shop, they'll have bicycles all in different frame sizes. Target, Walmart, they just buy in bulk. They might have one bike, but it's all in one size. And just as you said, the same bike that you ride, I shouldn't be riding because my knees will be up in the handlebars or something, right?
Yeah.
So if you go to a bike shop, a real bike shop, they'll have bikes in different frame sizes to fit you, and that's the most important part about riding a bike. You want to make sure that you're comfortable. You want to get a bike that fits your height and fits the demands that you are seeking from your bicycle. If you're jumping out and want to ride 50 or 60 miles, you want to be able to find a bike that will have you in a comfortable position that entire ride. So a lot of people go to these big box stores, they buy a bicycle, then they don't like riding it, but the only reason that subliminally that they don't like riding it is because it doesn't fit them. And, you know, they didn't have anybody take the time to adjust the seat, handlebars, and what we call the stem, the thing that holds the handlebars. You can buy different mm-hmm. sizes of those to go back and forth to lengthen or shorten your reach. And so all those intricate details, someone that works at a bike shop that is really trying to help you will go through those things with you versus going to a box store.
Okay, okay. So let me ask you this too. So the seat height adjustment and the placement of the handlebars, all of that is considered the frame, correct?
No, that's not your frame. The frame is the actual size of the bike. Bicycles come in different sizes. The parts that are your seat and your handlebars are attached to a frame.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So sometimes I notice, especially when people ride in groups, and we're going to get to that in just a minute, that they will sometimes lean over and kind of rest on their handlebars. Is that when you all have your long rides, or is that natural, or is that for comfortability, or why do people usually do that?
A combination of your response, comfortability, and some people actually have what we call time trial bikes. So they actually have handlebars that have places for you to rest your elbows on top of the handlebars. The benefit of that is it allows your body to get in a very aerodynamic position. And it may not seem like it, but over time, you're actually moving faster the more aerodynamic you are. If you're in a more aerodynamic position, like you said, where you're leaned over, you're cutting down the wind that would be coming into your chest if you were sitting straight up. It doesn't seem like a big difference. But over the course of an hour, just by being in a more aerodynamic position, you might cut off as much as 2 minutes, 3 minutes of time just by being in a different position and having less wind slow you down.
Less wind resistance. And if you're in a
yeah.
race, that could be the difference between you winning and losing.
Very much so. Or if someone is behind you and you're in a more aerodynamic position, that wind is catching all of them, so they're actually having to work harder to stay up with you versus you in a better position.
Oh, okay. So Richard, I know you ride by yourself, but you also ride with a club, correct? And what's the name of your club?
Okay, the name of our club is Team Flow in Raleigh, North Carolina. We have roughly about 45 to 50, I'd say, members, and probably out of those 50, it's about 30 to 35 of us that are very, very active. And when I say active, meaning ride at least, once or twice bi-weekly. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when you all ride, oh, go ahead. I'm sorry, the age group?
It's funny. The age group is mostly 30 and up, mid-30s to as high as, I'd say, 55.
Okay.
Okay. So we're a mature club.
Okay. That means y'all are not up for any games. When y'all are riding, it's serious business.
It's very serious, especially since a lot of people have invested a lot of time and money into their bikes. Yeah, we don't play any games.
About how much should a bicycle cost if you get it from one of those shops? Between anywhere from what, like 200 to 1,000?
Yeah. It can get as high, just like any other hobby. whether you it can get pricey, but I would suggest if you're just looking for something that feels good and you're not looking into like a road bike, you just want something to ride around your neighborhood or just kind of cruise your area, especially now since we have so many of these shop walkable cities and things of that nature. Definitely be looking to spend at least, I'd say, $400 for an entry-level hybrid bicycle. But if you want to step up and you are trying to really increase your fitness level and you want to get into road cycling, I'd say for a good road bike, be prepared to spend at least $1,500 for a nice quality bike. And that bike will have an aluminum frame. You want, you know, at least 10 gears on the back. And that would be it. But, I mean, I've seen people, their bikes, that cost as much as $12,000. And
$12,000.
That would be a specialized.
That's a small car.
Yeah, that's a small new car. Now, most of the people in our club have bought nice used cars for the price of their bicycle, ranging basically between, I say between $2,000 and $5,000 is where you're going to really find that range of experienced cyclists that know what they want. But the thing is, you got to look at it like you're investing in your fitness and your health. So that's going to hopefully cut down your insurance at work. You can tell them that you exercise this much amount when you go to renew your insurance every October.
Yes, yes.
Then you're not buying a bicycle every year. So if you spend, let's say, $3,000 on a bicycle, you keep the bike for 5 years, I mean, that's about, what, $600 a year? I mean, that's not too bad considering we spend $600 on garbage junk food throughout a year. So that's the way you got to look at it.
Well, let me ask you, too, about buying a helmet. How do we choose a helmet?
Oh, same thing. Make sure you get something that fits, and that's actually the biggest part of cycling. Make sure you get a helmet, whether you are just riding around the neighborhood or out on the road. First thing is get a helmet. I have a 5-year-old son. He wears his helmet. And even in our clubs, if you don't have a helmet, you can't come riding with us.
Okay. Sounds good. So I got my helmet. I got my bicycle. Oh, and we mentioned the club. So when you all ride together, what's the average number of members that usually ride together?
I mean, we have so many members, and just because of scheduling conflicts and things of that nature, most of the time, depending on, you know, schedules and everything, it's traditionally about 5 to 10 of us on each ride, you know, that fit that particular little group's schedule. We typically ride on Sundays, Tuesdays, and Saturdays, so whoever fits into that schedule can kind of sign up, and we do try to do one large group ride twice or three times during the summer just to kind of get out and show the community that there are a lot of cyclists in the area. And, you know, hey, we are the largest African-American group of cyclists in the Raleigh-Durham area.
Okay. So when you all ride, I know you mentioned riding behind someone earlier when we were talking about aerodynamics and the bicycle. So when you all ride, is there any particular way you all ride? Like, you know how birds fly and then one bird will drop off and go to the back and then another bird is pushed up to the front?
Yeah.
So do you all ride similar to that?
Yeah, we're just like the birds. The person, and we try to, in a large group, we try to ride two. Like, we call it a double pace line. So you have two people on the front, and then everybody else is behind those two people. Those two on the front are working probably 30% more than the people in the back. So if you do have slower riders, you tend to put them in the middle or the back, so you're cutting down all the wind, and they can keep up with the people that are working up front. And after, you know, a quarter mile or half a mile, those people in the front come off and go all the way to the back so the next two people can work. So over the course of a ride, whether it's 25, 50, especially like something like 100 miles, everybody is doing the work. So no one person is just absolutely tired at the end of the ride.
Okay. So, Richard, what is the longest ride you've ever done? How far?
102 miles, and that was, where was I? I really forgot where I was. It was in the eastern part of North Carolina, I know that. It was a small town, but it was a 102-mile ride. But, you know, it's not really the distance that's challenging, because if you can ride a bike, you can ride it for 100 miles. The effort is the challenging part. If you're trying to average 20 miles an hour for 100 miles, you know, that's a hard effort versus somebody that's just riding, you know, just cruising along, taking their own time to do the 100 miles. So distance really isn't a big thing. It's all about the effort.
Okay, so distance is the effort and the endurance?
Yeah, definitely. You can ride 20 miles and put, you know, ride 20 miles hard as you can, and somebody could ride 50 miles, but if they don't put in a hard, if they don't effort, it's not really getting a good workout. It's all about the effort, you're increasing your fitness level.
Okay, and that's your, before you do anything, you need to figure out what your goal is. And when the fitness level is your goal, you're concentrating on your effort and your endurance.
Correct.
Okay. And where have you ridden? I know you've ridden in Maryland and New York. Where else have you ridden?
Okay. I'm going to do a small plug here. The 5-Borough Tour, I did that in New York, which they close all the streets down in New York and allow you to ride through all the boroughs. That's normally take places in May, but due to this COVID-19, a lot of the events, of course, have been canceled or rescheduled from the summer to latter part of the year. But that in New York, one of the biggest events takes place the first weekend in October. That's the Seagull Century in Salisbury, Maryland. West Virginia. Covington, West Virginia does a great ride through the mountains in George Washington National Forest. That's one of my favorite events just because it's a real small town and there's hardly any traffic. But for some reason, I just like going up all the hills. I don't know why. and also have done formal USA cycling races in Newport News, Winston-Salem, Greenville, North Carolina. Mid-Atlantic.
Okay, did you ride in the Blue Ridge Mountains too, right?
That was just a recreational ride, just me and some friends, and we do our training rides in at Pilot Mountain, just north of Winston-Salem. We try to do that at least twice a year, but that's no formal event, but something we like to do.
Okay, well, fantastic. So, if I'm interested in cycling, I need to go and make sure that I have an aluminum bike and start from there. Go into a professional shop, and get professionally fitted for a bike that should be specifically for me, correct?
Definitely.
We get started from there. Now, Richard, I know you offer training for some people. What is your Instagram so that people can contact you?
Definitely. Search Instagram for 700 Cycling. 700 Cycling. and that'll be our Instagram account. You can direct message us, or you can click the link to our website in the bio of our Instagram account, 700 Cycling from Raleigh, North Carolina.
We have Oh, and you got pictures and everything up too, right?
Great photos.
Now, I noticed recently you have some sponsors. So you have had some people to sponsor your 700 Cycling, right?
Yes. Shout out to our sponsors. We love them. Just a few of them. I'll try to name them off the top of my head. Forgive me if I forget anyone. but we have Jaria Wilson's Meal Prep. Alicia Thornwell, real estate agent out of Hampton Roads. So if you're looking to buy or sell in Hampton Roads, give Alicia a call. David Peacock Contracting, PrincessBestSpeaks.com. She's a motivational speaker. Red Pen Editing, which is the owner is Bia Johnson. She has a book out also on Amazon. Look her up. And who am I?
John Fitzpatrick, attorney at law.
John Fitzpatrick, attorney at law. That's a big one. Powerhouse Auto, located here in North Carolina, that sells cars, of course. And MMW Petites, which is a new apparel company. So, and you can find information about them all on our website, all on the Instagram account also.
Okay, well. Wonderful. I'm trying to think, is there anything else? You mentioned your five-year-old son. So tell us how you actually taught him how to ride without going through the training wheel process.
Yeah, well, we had him on a tricycle for about 2 or 3 weeks, and I just didn't want him to get so used to the tricycle or training wheels and, you know, depend on them of going through the process of learning how to ride a bike. So we actually bought him a balance bike shortly after the tricycle. Now, what a balance bike is, and I wish they would have had these around when I was a kid, but it looks just like a regular bicycle, but it doesn't have pedals. It doesn't have a space for the pedals between the child's legs. So the child actually sits on the seat, you know, holds the handlebars, and pushes the bike with their feet. So they get adjusted to balancing themselves without depending on a tricycle or a bike with training wheels. So as soon as they are able to, as soon as you feel comfortable as a parent giving them a bicycle with pedals, the balancing part isn't a problem. Just learning how to pedal and keep the motion going is just their issue. But I'm a thorough advocate of balance bikes. We got our son's balance bike when he was just 2.5 years old, and he was actually riding a pedal bike at three and a half latest. Yeah.
3.5 with a helmet.
With a helmet, yeah.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Richard, for joining us today. I'm going to pray, and then we'll... Because you probably need to get riding somewhere. let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to you this evening, this afternoon, this morning, Lord God, we thank you once again for this beautiful day, Lord God. We thank you for your many, many blessings, Lord God. And as this virus runs rampant through this land, Lord, we ask for your healing powers, Lord God. We ask for your protection, Lord God, the people who are on the front lines, the nurses, the doctors, the people that clean the facilities, that the hospital facilities, where the people are that have the virus, Lord God, we ask that you just keep them, Lord God. And Lord God, keep us all in perfect peace, Lord God. Lord, we ask that you continue to touch Richard and his cycling club, Lord God. Keep them safe as they travel. And ride through the places where they go. Help them to be a light, a shining light that shines as well, Lord. God, we continue to ask for prayer over Kayla Paget, Lord God, and Josie's Inspirations. We just thank you so much for all you've done and all you will continue to do in our lives. We ask you and we thank you for everything. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Please check out 700 Cycling on Instagram.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Johnson, for joining us this today. We thoroughly appreciate it. And thank you so much for the for all of the information.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. Have a passion for
cycling.
All right.
Pat, that's what we want. We want people to have a passion. Thank you so much, and we will talk to you soon.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Produced by Kayla Paget on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the Internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.